You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Yes, it is indeed time to hear from Andrew Little again. Just to reiterate, unfortunately, I could only hear from him for 5 minutes this morning. So a lot less is covered than needs to be, but we'll be revisiting that later on in the show. With Rod Oram, Te Ara Whātū and Generation Zero. So do stay tuned and let's hear what Andrew had to tell me about Ngāiwi o Taranaki. Let's touch on the fact that the negotiations between the Crown and Ngāiwi o Taranaki are coming to a close soon.
Sure.
What's the process over the last couple of years been like and what can we expect from the collective redress deed?
Look, it's been a good process. Obviously, there's eight iwi involved, and they all have a very important stake in the maunga. And their thing is they want to make sure that their voice in terms of the governance over the maunga and its conservation strategies and utilisation of the national park is a real one and an effective voice and a genuine part of the decision making. So we've worked out some good structures about that. The maunga remains as a national park, but the governance arrangements will be different to some of the other national parks and working in with the local conservation authority. So there's that. There's the remaining issues are some of the funding issues. What do we need to do to make sure that the iwi voice is strong and resourced and supported to be effective around the decision-making table? So this is the last issue that we're dealing with. And I think once we get the final deed sorted out and the final details done, then you know, you'll see that there's a range of issues there, largely about how they have or their voice has input in to the decisions and the resources that go with that, and their ability to make sure that the conservation values are their values as much as those expressed under the National Parks Act.
Mm. It's comforting to hear that the sort of ongoing input of governance behind the National Park, as you touched on, will be upheld. Obviously, when I'm researching for this interview, this news was still talked about as terms of a settlement. And we know now that the ongoing impact of colonialism means that these issues aren't ones that will ever have full and final settlement. Do you think that we should still even be using the term settlement when talking about relations between the Crown and upholding Te Tiriti o Waitangi?
It's not a term I use, or at least I try to avoid using it, and only because actually a lot of iwi I've engaged with, and especially Ngāpuhi, who don't like the term, their characterisation of it to me is a settlement sounds like the conclusion of something, whereas for iwi and Māori, they see this as the beginning of something. They see it as a restoration of something that that should never have been lost in the first place. And I think that's right. And in terms of Pākehā and the Crown, it's restoring a relationship to the way that it should have been, with a sense of equality, but actually a sense of empowerment of iwi to start taking back control of their destiny, tino ranga tiritanga, and mana matuhaki. So I when I'm talking about the agreement that's reached, I talk about agreement on redress because that's what it is. But the way I approach it is this is about putting back together a relationship that has been severed or severely damaged because of the Crown's actions in the past, because I want people to have a sense that we are building something again or rebuilding something and strengthening a relationship that's one of mutual respect. And that is not what a settlement is. It is, and so we have to characterise it differently.
Mm. You yourself have said this week on that note about restoration and moving forward and improving the relationship from here on means that change needs to come from all of government. This was in the context of speaking at the Black Lives Matter march and acknowledging problems in the configuration and operation of our justice system. Mm. How differently do you think your government would approach the implementation of these beliefs into policy reform if elected again or if elected without New Zealand First?
Yeah, I think, look, there's a real willingness. And actually, with New Zealand First, they I look at the reality is they take a more conservative view on these things, but they're not absolutely and utterly opposed to a more progressive approach to criminal justice reform. In fact, they say, they perfectly well articulate the major problems we've got, this massive over-representation of Māori in the system, and a system that is, you know, we're just locking a whole bunch of people up and nothing significantly happening as a consequence. We're not helping people. We're not addressing for individuals the things that have, you know, driven them to into criminal offending. So they get all that. But with any Conservative Party, there's that natural hesitation about getting too far ahead of the electorate. My view is, you see a problem, you've got to call it out. And actually, leadership is sometimes about getting ahead of the pack. That's what leadership is. And that's just a healthy tension that we have. But I think, you know, look, from Labor's point of view, we do know this is a major problem. We've got a very active Māori caucus who, you know, give me a lot of support in the space. And I hope after the election, if we're in a position to continue change and with the benefit of a strong Māori caucus, we can continue to make real progress. I think we've done very well in getting the debate underway. Kelvin Davis has done a good job in terms of corrections and starting to change some of their culture. But we know we're near where we need to be in terms of a justice system and a criminal justice system that better deals with people to stop offending. And ultimately, you know, in terms of community safety, reducing the numbers of victims of crime in the future, and that's what the objective has to be.
So that means that if elected again, we can expect to see in the next term more implementation of robust and actual change, say, for example, recommendations made by Moana Jackson on the criminal justice system.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of recommendations coming out of the Māori Summit, criminal justice summit that we had as part of the Hapaitia program of work, and that is still continuing too. And there's some initiatives that the Māori Summit came up with in terms of structure and places in the decision-making forums. But actually, just, you know, whereas at the moment we've got within the justice sector all the different departments, police, the Ministry of Justice, corrections and various others, all with their own kind of Māori advisory groups, none of that's joined up. And so we don't get a sensible conversation about the system as a whole. And they have said, look, what's the point of splitting all this up into different sort of categories just based on, you know, how we budget things? This is a system that people move through, and if we want to do the best, we've got to have a more cohesive and coherent approach to it, and the Māori voice has to be heard in that. They talk of it a mana orite model, an equality model, which I'm attracted to, and we're sort of working out what that means in practice. So I would certainly hope that we can continue that work and implement that sort of thing.
Cool. Well, we eagerly await some implementation of that.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.